Welcome to Animateez, a retro anime review comedy podcast. Join our resident anime nerd Mackenzie and anime noob Lindsay as they delve into their VHS vault and review the best and worst of what the 80s and 90s had to offer. These episodes contain spoilers and adult language, so stick around if you're cool like that.
Welcome back, everyone. I am your Mega Man is better than Sonic believing host, Mackenzie, joined by my doesn't have any skin in that debate co-host, Lindsay.
I'm skinless.
Oh, okay. I should note for the raving Sonic fans out there who have grabbed their pitchforks, I don't hate Sonic, okay? I just like Mega Man more. Please don't kill me.
Puts pitchfork down.
Oh, that's you. You're secretly a Sonic stan.
Oh, I'm such a Sonic head. Okay. Give me that hedgehog and the Jim Carrey guy.
Anyways, all right, Lindsay. I'm going to do it a bit differently this week. I'm going to tell you right off the bat the name of this series.
Don't you normally want
you to tell me what genre it is and what you think about it, or what you think it's about.
Okay.
I want to note, I'm not throwing you a curveball here. I'm not going to introduce a series that's called Goth Muscle Mommy Showdown when it's really just like a slice of life about a nurse who works in a children's hospital and just happens to like one metal band. I'm not going to do that. There's no curveballs here.
It's Detroit, right? Metal City.
With that being said, this week's series is called Metal Fighter Miku.
Metal Fighter Miku?
Yeah. So tell me, Lindsay. Yep. What do you think this is about?
Okay. I have a couple of theories. Miku could probably be like a robo fighter who is like really smart and has a robot that she fights in like robo battles.
Okay.
Or it is someone who hates, it's like a mom who is just, her son keeps listening to this gosh darn metal music and it's just not good for him because, you know, he's just got some really terrible ideas. And so she's got moms against metal and she's trying to take down these, you know, like Tipper Gore and the Dead Kennedys. Or Miku is made of metal and she just likes fighting.
Yeah, you're not really close.
Oh, okay. Well,
but you're not also that far off in some aspects.
Yeah, so, like in what aspects?
This series is actually set in the near future where people don robotic superhero like suits and battle against the bad guys.
Okay. So it's like a mecha.
And by people, I mean women. And by battle, I mean throw down in the wrestling ring, brother.
Hell yeah.
That's right. Female wrestlers in cool, high-powered outfits fighting for the championship belt in the much-beloved sport, Neo Wrestling.
Whoa. Okay, this sounds pretty sick.
This series follows the Pretty Four as they train and fight their way to the top against a shady organization and dangerous wrestling teams from around the world.
What?
Oh, did I also mention they're pop idols too?
Because of course they are.
Or that the show features a little bit of magical girl type flair.
Amazing.
Because it does. Now, this show has it all, including some of the worst voice acting we've seen in a long time.
Yes, welcome back to the Stewart Academy of Voice Acting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so ready.
Not on every character, but there's some you're going to note, and I guarantee I'm going to say a name, and you're going to be like, that's exactly it. Now, this week, we will be watching 5 episodes. Now, before you be like, what the fuck, man?
Why more than three?
It's because, A, they're only 18 minutes long.
Fine.
And B, 2 of them, I expect you'll have most of your notes just read training montage with X theme, because half of 2 of these episodes is just training montage.
Perfect.
So technically you're only watching 4, but even then there's not too crazy much going on. You're going to have like 9 years worth of notes. So,
oh my gosh. We're just like every week we're like, I have nine pages of notes. I tried to cut it down.
Yeah. If you have 9 pages of notes for Metal Fighter Miku, I will be actually really impressed.
Like, whoa, she found all of the hidden metaphors? There's a cheat code?
She won
a 20-year-old contest that ran back in 2006?
Hell yeah. I think the last contest I won actually was I got a Pikachu Tamagotchi when I won like a Smash Brothers tournament at the mall.
I won tickets to a private Kalen Porter concert.
Ooh, fun. But so yeah, we follow the Pretty Four, and there are a bunch of girls who all have, you know, your tomboy, you got your like cutesy one, you got your pretty girl.
You're like manufactured kinda girl group.
Yeah. Some of the groups they go up against are intense. When I say that these people have like superpowered suits, I mean, it's not just like we're wearing some metal cage wear. No, I'm talking like they got suits that are shooting spikes out at them. You got shoots things that are like pulling out like ropes to bind them up. These are still all happening within the confines of a wrestling ring, though. So get suited up, Lindsay, because I'm about to ding the bell and send you out against your opponent this week. Metal Fighter Miku. And we're back from taking classes at the Stewart and Friends School of Voice. Sorry. I meant watching 5 episodes of Metal Fighter Miku. And I got to ask, Lindsay, could you smell what Studio JC staff were cooking? Or did it feel like Hell in a Cell and The Undertaker just threw you from the top of the cage?
I don't know wrestling.
Neither do I. I had to Google references.
I was like, the only wrestling match I know of is the one between Spider-Man and Bonesaw. From the first Spider-Man movie.
Well, let me put this into a better perspective. Did Metal Fighter Miku leave you wanting to hold the elevator to let the bad guy go? Or did you get paid from the pit boss?
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Get in the cage. this is adorable. It was just like cutesy wrestling.
I mean, cutesy at times.
Yeah. There was sometimes where I was like, whew, that is just Harley Quinn on HGH. Like, holy moly.
Some of the baddies are a little interesting.
Some of the outfits on the opposing teams are also interesting.
The series is very, a term you're going to learn here, Monster of the Week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes
sense.
Like
Sailor Moon, where every week there's just a new random baddie to help fill in and move along the plot or the story. Sometimes not even to do any of that, because Sailor Moon's 65% filler. But They have increasingly stronger powers and increasingly interesting outfits. Because like you said, sometimes they're like, I'm a giant truck.
Mm-hmm.
And other times it's like candy floss in the vagina.
Oh my gosh. I was like, who? How? Like, that can't be sanitary.
But at least they're like kind of interesting. They're all unique.
Some of them are like classic, you know, baddies. And then others are like bunnies.
Some are very Power Rangers-y.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole series is kind of like Power Rangers.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird proportions, but hey.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier Studio JC, who have their hits and their misses. They're known for popular series like Utena, which you would know.
Mm-hmm.
And then other ones that are very popular, like One Punch Man and something called Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Question mark.
Depends on the dungeon.
And if they're working. If they're working, then you
leave
gotta
them
leave them alone.
Unless you're paying. But you have to pay up front.
So yeah, they got some good stuff. They got some bad stuff. But you're saying that Miku for you was not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I didn't like hate watching it, but I don't think I'll ever return to it.
I've watched more of it just because I'm like, I know obviously, of course, they're going to win. But like, just, you know, I'm
they're
going
to win the, yeah.
A little curious and whatnot. But
yeah, I guess I would be curious to see how they win against Aquamarine.
Yeah, because she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's
kind of badass.
Oh, yeah. She's like,
she's so mysterious. Because I mean, like in the 5 episodes we watched, you don't ever see her out of costume.
No.
So she kind of is this very mythological, more than human being, I guess, which I think makes it really interesting. And it kind of puts her on that pedestal of unobtainable glory, I guess, which is what our protagonists are like fighting for. Literally fighting for.
Yeah, and even when they were like, she's returned from in the United States where she was doing unknown activities.
So
like everything,
scandalous.
Everything about her is so hidden away.
It's shrouded. It's, yeah. Mm. Ooh. No,
you're right. It's a very cute series.
Yep.
It struggles with the voice acting, for sure.
What?
Ginkgo,
what do you mean?
And Cyana being the worst.
I literally was like, "How? What are these voices? These were choices."
Ginkgo, like the older one, who like clearly sounds like an adult woman.
Oh yeah, she's like, I'm just gonna talk like this, and then like
no, not that one.
Oh,
the one who's like, And I was like, no, Miku.
Hello, fellow youth.
And it's like she's learning to read for the first time while she's doing the voice acting.
But I mean, it gave us some variety, gave us something to be like, oh yeah, this is a cute story. These are about little like teenage girls. And then, oh, and then there's these two.
And like, if you don't read a synopsis of this show and just watch the opening animation, it's a very different vibe.
Oh yeah.
Flying through Tokyo, fighting giant robots.
Yeah, but no, the themes, I don't know. For some reason, I didn't really like, I know I watched them, but can I remember what they were? No.
No, it didn't blow me away. It had like a cool like guitar riff intro. And I, like I said, I liked the animation. But like other than that,
I skipped it a lot of the time.
That's fair. The ending track, I don't think I honestly watched once.
Yeah, it was just like them being sisters and like.
It wasn't just a fashion show.
No, it weirdly wasn't. There was only one underwear shot.
You know what? I will give this series props for that.
Yeah.
It's not like a fan service-y show.
Thank goodness.
It's pretty chill. I think it was even on Toonami at one point, which is why we have our very rushed, terrible dub. Like, the voice actress of Ginkgo has one other voice acting credit. That's it. They have a couple acting roles and these two roles, and I'm pretty sure their agent just kind of came up to them and was like,
you want to try voice acting? We really need someone.
And then a month later was like, hey, listen.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, we're not going to recommend that you, we're not going to give you any more voice acting roles.
No, we've had some complaints. The children are angry.
They are revolting. Oh, man. Oh. Think of the children.
I was going to think of so many wrestling puns. None of them that I found were like just generic. They were all tied to specific wrestlers. And I just like, nah, you're not going to pick up on that.
Nope. John Cena. The Rock?
Rhea Ripley?
Is she the really hot
goth girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I do know her. She is a babe. Oh, those arms.
Oh, the kind of arms that'll keep you close at night.
Oh, okay. We're not going to go down that road. Oh, man. Yeah. Anyways, shall I get into these?
Let's move on from adult real wrestlers to teenage girl wrestlers.
Oh, man. Yep. Well, we start with episode one, which is Miku steps into the ring.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's great. There's like an old man practicing a speech about, you know, this wrestling group, blah, blah, blah. And he they're called the Pretty Four, and he walks into the dressing room. There's only three. So how can you be the Pretty Four if there's only three of you? He's like, where the shit is this other one? And they're like, oh, I don't know. She's probably, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we see this like moped just driving through the streets of Tokyo, frantically trying to get to this place. Then we see this teenage girl like bust into this stadium to watch this wrestling match. And it's like the return of Aquamarine, this incredible like women's wrestler who's been gone for 2 years and is making her debut back in the ring. And she's like, hell yeah, she's so excited.
I love that it makes it look like she's rushing to get to like her studio on time.
Yeah.
But nah, she's got to go check out the wrestler with the badass outfit.
Yeah, doesn't matter that it's her debut. Nope, we gotta go Aquamarine.
Yeah, she looks like an X-Men. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, she does. Now that you say that, it absolutely is X-Men vibes.
Also, I love when he's like, but she's not here for the record release. And the one girl who's the ditzy of the group is like, it's not a record, it's a CD.
Or the other one that's like, is this lipstick too much? And they're like, not for you.
Which is kind of also an insult.
I know, I was like, are you kind of reading your sister?
Damn.
Sorry, it was, is this lipstick too much?
That's yeah, you gotta put more Stewart into it.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, man. So yeah, after this match that Aquamarine, clearly is wins. Oh, yeah. Miku makes her way back to the wrestling group and they're like, where were you?
Bitch.
Yeah, excuse me. And so her punishment is that she has to clean the gym for the next week, but she's not allowed to use a broom or a mop so it can like build up her back muscles. Which I was like,
is an insane punishment.
Absolutely.
Hand scrub 2,000 square feet every day for a week.
No, thank you. I'm okay. I mean, you would never miss a practice for a debut again.
No.
Then we cut to Shibano, corporate company of wrestling, and it's the CEO and his daughter chatting. and they're discussing that Yoko needs to like permanently eliminate the competition.
Were you expecting assassination subplots?
No, I was not. So it was very surprising. But I mean, yeah, we're getting a little whiff of this, the antagonist's plot, because she's just like, I want to be the best. I want to be the very best. No one ever was.
It's actually the sub theme song for this.
Oh, okay.
Pokemon just stole it.
Oh, come on. Pokemon, be more original.
Best.
But anyways, so their plan is she's going to invite all of the different wrestling's people from the different leagues to a championship that they can all fight against Aquamarine. Let's see if it works. So we're at the match, and this is like Miku's big debut. And so she's like number two in command, and the other team is just like, they have way better looks. They're like gold and like blue raven, like bird-esque looks.
They're harpies.
Well, that's good to know. They're harpies, which I was like, isn't that what you just call, like, isn't that an insult to some people if you call them a harpy?
I think you're a harlot?
I don't know. Anyways, you know, they're starting to do really well, and it looks like they're kind of like, basically the one like little sister gets in a scuff, and they're like, oh no! And so Miku's supposed to go in next, but then her oldest sister goes in for her, and she's like, what the shit? Let me go. And then she finally gets to go in, and what happens? Some motherfucker rides in on a camel and disrupts the match. And she reveals that she is Sapphire, and I don't remember the name. Moonlight Jewels is their wrestling team. Which I was like, that's pretty cool.
She looks like a cat.
Yeah. I did not like her outfit. Her outfit was weird.
No, it doesn't. It just, it's trying to be like all like cool and like cat girl, but it looks terrible.
Yeah. So Miku accepts their invitation to fight them for a championship, which is great because it ends with like, it always ends with them like in a headline on the news. And I was like, this is really smart because it gets everybody interested in, like, everybody's already interested for Miku's debut. And then Miku isn't actually getting her debut. They're advertising for another event so that they can, you know, it feels like good marketing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You gotta crash the official event unofficially to then market your even more official, bigger event.
Exactly. So everybody, and I guess, wins.
This is also where we see our first quote unquote magical girl transformation.
Oh, yep. Very long.
Yeah, because it's for each of them, right?
Yep.
They've all each got to get their little thing going on. I mean, Sailor Moon does the same thing. Technically, Sailor Moon's is longer.
But Sailor Moon will at least like cut shit down. They never do.
No, we, it's the same one every time.
Yeah, we're like, come on, guys, let's edit some stuff.
I sent you that photo of the girls from Mega Man to kind of make it make more sense as to why I was referencing Mega Man in the intro.
It's just like these weird bloated proportions. It's like Popeye proportions. Also, okay, no, actually, I have a note.
Okay.
They have all these like mecha fighting suits on, and it protects all of the like not essential things for living. Which doesn't make sense.
Can't stand their outfits, if I'm being honest.
Because every
other team they go up against has like cool things that happen and like things shoot out from it, or
they can like turn into like
turn into tractors and balls and all this crap. And the one girl has a scanner that checks for other people's weaknesses.
Yep.
But other than that, these suits don't give them like super strength or anything.
Yeah, it just protects their limbs, which I was like, there's a lot of squishy bits in there that you really do want to protect with more than just Lycra. Kidney punches? Those are dangerous.
And some of these bad guys have like 6-inch spikes on their gloves. So you are very much so correct that that is stupid.
Yeah, these are not good for fighting in. So we move on to episode 2, which is Miku practices hard. And basically, the news reports that Sapphire is having this open tournament to prove that she's the ultimate champion. And so there's like a bunch of people auditioning in a gym. And the dad is there and he's like, I'm nervous about my girls getting hurt, which if you wanted them, if you're worried about them getting hurt, maybe get them better armor. But yeah, it says that their first match is going to be against the Crushers, who they call gorillas. And so they're a little nervous. And we're back at the training gym and they learn that they have a new coach, which in my notes, I wrote a new couch. And yeah, they're like, all right, who is it? And it's some drunk. Who smells terrible.
He's literally like falls over into the equipment.
He's trying to drink and they're like, this smelly guy is our coach? Why? and they like don't understand. And he's just like, you guys are pathetic. And it just like starts ripping them apart. And he's like, yeah, you guys suck. You don't even know how to take a fall. Which I mean, like, fair. That's like one of the first things you learn in roller derby.
When I was on the wrestling team, they literally were like, you're going to get thrown around. Learn how to land even when it's on your ass.
It's very important. So I was like, okay, this coach maybe has some good ideas. And then he makes them do 2,000 falls. And I was like, okay, never mind. He doesn't have great ideas.
In their training armor,
yeah,
fall on your ass 2,000 times in a row from the top of the ropes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, from the top ropes, which is dangerous. Oh my gosh. So yeah, we get a training montage of just them with their new coach training, and he like makes them do 3,000 squats. My inner powerlifter is like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you're not training the muscle the most effectively. What are you doing?
I love that they put in a sound effect of everyone's knees crunching.
I was gonna say, someone just had a water bottle and was just like,
they're like 1,995.
They have 30-year-old knees.
I'll be honest, mine do that after like 20 squats.
Yeah, if I don't warm up properly.
Another Ginkgo special. The voice actress of Ginkgo can't pronounce things correctly to the point where she will call Miku Mika.
I noticed that. Yep.
And then she calls, they're talking about like Aquamarine, and she's like, oh yeah, that's her favorite hero in instead of heroine.
Yeah, there was a couple times where I was like, did I hear that right? Or did they say it wrong? What's going
on?
They
just said it wrong.
So the day of the tournament finally arrives. And of course, we have to have our magical girl transformations unedited again. We got to fill this 20 minute.
I was going to say, the episodes are already short.
And then they're like, we have to continue to have this extremely long magical girl transformation. Otherwise, how are they going to know why they have different colored hair now? And yeah, the first battle begins. I don't know. Miku. One of the sisters.
Miku.
Miku. No, it's not Miku.
Yes.
It's a different one.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were trying to pronounce her name.
No, I was trying to say the other one's name. And
sorry,
then
I'm just so used to you mispronouncing names.
How dare you be absolutely correct? Miku is getting the shit kicked out of her. And that sucks. So then Miku enters. And immediately also gets the shit kicked out of her. But she knows how to fall. And because she knows how to fall, she ends up using that to her advantage to win the match and advance to the next round. Why not?
There's no sister named Mika.
What the hell? Whose name is this then? What are these sisters' names?
There's Miku, Nana, Sayaka, and Ginkgo.
Maybe it was Ginka. Ginkgo? Geico?
Ginkgo.
Ginkgo. All right, well, let's go into episode 3, Miku's special training. So we open on Sapphire in a match with the bunny team, and Sapphire wins. Whoa! Everyone is surprised. And then the pretty four are getting verbally abused by Ishido, who is that his name? The coach? Ishido? And they have to wear these, like, weird weights, because he's like, you guys don't know how to use your armor properly, so you're gonna wear these stupid weights that are impossible to move in, basically, for the next week. And yeah, you just watch them trying to like wear these, and they're just like, I can't do anything. Ugh. So we get another training montage. We learn that Ishido is quitting, like, being the trainer.
Yeah.
And the girls are very excited because they don't have to wear these stupid weights anymore, and they don't have to, you know, do 3,000 crunches, or not crunches, squats. I mean, 3,000 crunches would also be awful. And then the mom calls him out for being a drunk who can't handle his feelings. I was like, go mom, you tell him, you that mom is curing emotional constipation in men, and I'm here for it. But then yeah, we also learn Ishido was Aquamarine's former coach, and I guess there was, yes, some sort of love interest connection there, and that's why he's like sad and a drunk, because that didn't work out. I don't know. Yeah, it's great. She just is like, can you not? Back at the gym, the girls are training when suddenly, da-da-da, there's a bunch of like armored women who burst in, which we learn are called the Dangerous Ninja Ladies. Which, favorite name of the series, Dangerous Ninja Ladies. Let's do this. And basically, they're just going to make it. They're saying that they're like going to make it so they can never step foot in the ring again. And so, what do? Magical girl transformation in its full unedited form. Basically, they start, the battle starts kicking off, but these girls are like, whoa, I can move so much better now without these giant weights on me.
There is science behind this.
Yeah. I understand from like a biomechanics or whatever point of view, like, yeah, it's effective, but I'm also like, it just is like too much.
Forgot to mention this earlier. In first opening battle, when it's bunny girls versus cat girls, I'm pretty sure she snapped that girl's neck at the end of the match. Because she slams her on her neck and it goes perfectly 90 degrees sideways, and the look on her face just goes like blank.
Oh no, that's so dark.
I'm pretty sure she snapped that girl's neck.
Oh my gosh. But anyways, just like in Bridget Jones' Diaries, when Colin Firth and Hugh Grant are fighting, this also somehow bursts out onto the street and the conflict ensues in public. The mom and Shino are like, oh no, what's going on? And they show up, and then Miko uses her signature kick to win the battle and chase the dangerous ninja ladies off.
It's not even a super cool kick.
No, there's just a kick. And that's the end of episode 3. Now we're on episode 4, which is Miku under suspicion. Scandalous. It starts with them at their second match, and hurrah, they win! Great! So at the end of the match, TV screen clicks off, and Shibano is shaming some pleb for using the dangerous ninja ladies, or whatever their names were, and failing to take out the pretty four. And they're like, no, he has a plan! And then he whispers something into Shibano's ear, and then we cut to the gym where the pretty four are training, and we learn that they have a new trainee starting, because
another girl to join the cast of poorly voiced characters.
What would the show be without poorly voiced characters?
Better.
But yeah, my note was, this bitch already looks shady.
It doesn't help that like seconds later she gets like an evil eye close-up,
right? She has like red eyes, and she's like, aah! You're like, yeah, she's a baddie, don't trust her. And so during training, the trainee gets electrocuted while doing laundry, which I'm like, does she get electrocuted? Where are the burn marks? And they like do some very quick investigation and learn that the cord to the machine has been cut, which I'm like, that could also, like, if you're cutting a cord without the right, like, and it's plugged in without the right safety, yeah, I guess electricity could shoot her ass across the room. Maybe she wasn't faking. I also just love the idea of her not understanding how to
takes a metal knife and just cutting through a plugged in power cable.
They'll never suspect anything. So their girls are in the showers after training. The one sister goes to take a shower and burns herself, but just her one pointer finger doesn't get severely burnt. It just gets kind of burnt.
As hot as like a shower can go.
Yeah. So like, it didn't feel good, but she's gonna be fine. And they learn that like the temp control settings have been tampered with. So now they're like, oh no, what could possibly happen? This is suspicious. And then we get our third weird saboteur the next day in training, because there's the two sisters and their suits start to malfunction, which like, this one is genuinely terrifying. That's real. Like, could you imagine being trapped in like a mecha suit and then it just starts going crazy?
These aren't like take you out of commission for a day or two before the match kind of attacks.
It's like saw trap.
These are like, let me attempt to burn your whole body and then electrocute you in front of your friends. Like,
yeah,
that's some murderer shit.
That is jigsaw shit. And they're trying to like, so they like are all like, fuck this. And they're all in a like room trying to figure out what is going on. And they're like, well, the only one who hasn't been attacked is Miku. So that feels suspicious. And so they're like, obviously she's the one who's been doing all of this. She's like, no, like, what the? No, that's not at all what happens. And so Ishido comes up with the only logical thing of how they should figure out who the culprit is, and that is getting them to do a battle royale. Just wants them all to go ahead into the ring and just like kill each other, you know, whoever, like, I don't even whoever quits or whatever is the like culprit.
Yeah, it was whoever loses first is the culprit.
And like Miku's like, I don't know if I want to do this. They're like, well, then you must be the traitor. She's like, ah, shit. Well, like, I'm not. So I guess I'll keep going. And then a reporter comes back and reveals that the girl is the traitor. Like, the trainee is the traitor.
She's from the Sayaka school of...
The Sayaka's Women's Professional Wrestling or whatever league.
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wrote down SWPW in my notes. So that's what I'm assuming it is. But yeah, so they like basically kick this bitch's ass. And we get this after school special about how we should do that again sometime in the ring. That was a great fight.
She just tried to kill you.
Yeah. I was like, this is too nice. Like, it's like when in Hello Kitty with the dream thief, and they like finish like kicking the shit out of this little puff thing. And then they're like, oh, we should help him because he has a sore tummy. Like, what is going on? And then, yeah, and then it is revealed that the reason that Shibano is trying to sabotage them is because he bullies the dad, because the dad was a part of, like, some sort of environmental activist group back in the day and prevented Shibano from basically leveling a bunch of forest.
Yeah, so he's been a bully of him since elementary school.
Oh, okay. He made you, you couldn't cut down trees, and now you're trying to destroy his family.
How dare he?
He came after his prophets.
I always get so annoyed. I get it's like a teaching children like forgiveness and all that jazz, but like, come the fuck on. She tried
to kill them.
Kill you and ruin your career. Like,
yeah. If not kill you, severely maim you to the point where you will like not be able to do your job anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's have that fight in the ring sometime and monetize it.
I mean, if you are going to get your ass kicked, you might as well make money doing it.
I mean, fine. But yeah, so we're on to the next episode now, and it is Miku turns into a chicken, which, what? I genuinely, when I heard this title, was like, is she actually going to turn into a chicken?
We're getting some magic in the series now.
Whoa. I mean, episode 5, that's when they start to break out some of the weird stuff.
That is true. That's kind of where it starts to pick up.
So we start with everybody on a bus because they're going to some sort of training in for their next match. The sisters are teasing Kinta and Miku about liking each other. And they're like, stop
it, guys.
We don't like each other. And then I don't know what happens. They like swerve to try and miss something or not drive off a cliff. I don't remember. But Miku is the only one who really gets injured in this. And they're like, holy shit, girl, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. Why do you ask? So they finally get to this like old inn, which they're like, what is this? I don't understand. There's chickens everywhere. And like, honestly, I was like, this place looks really nice. I don't understand why
this little countryside bed and breakfast.
Yeah, so the three sisters go down to the hot spring, and Miku's like, I'll go later. I gotta do something right now. And then when she's all alone, she's like, ooh, ow, ooh. And she like pulls down her shirt, and she has this tiny little bruise on her shoulder.
I'll tell you what, as someone who has torn their rotator cuffs multiple times,
but she doesn't have a torn. She doesn't have a torn rotator cuff because we have the doctor in the next scene who just says she has a bruised shoulder joint.
But that's what I'm getting at. If she was a big problem, it'd be a little more than that tiny bruise.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just really funny that it was like, ooh, ah. And then, it's just like this itty bitty bruise. Just a little bit of purple. The doctor's like, she cannot fight. Like, she needs to take it easy. Pro wrestling is out of the question. Which I was like, that's really funny that the doctor had to say that. In my medical opinion, she should not do pro wrestling. The next day, while the other three sisters are training, those reporters come back and they're like, apparently the other team has like this secret weapon. They're like, shit, what is it? And he's like, oh, we didn't get a chance to see what it was, but we just wanted to let you know.
I like how these reporters are like on their side.
Like, and they're just like cute little recurring characters.
Yeah, they're like,
keep giving
hi.
Them dirt.
We think you guys are really cool, so we're gonna like, you know, give you all the stuff you want when we can, as long as we can
we'll
take
make you
your
guys
pictures.
Look really great, 100%. So while this is going on, Miku is helping the innkeeper chase his chickens, and that is not a euphemism.
with the most like intense foreshadowing.
Yeah, very heavy-handed. I was like, all right, what is this going to allude to later? And then this chicken that can't fly jumps up into the air above both of them and lands on the innkeeper's head and like scratches him or something.
Yeah.
And so this fully inspires Miku. We don't know how yet. She just is like, whoa, that chicken.
She just feels a connection with that chicken.
Oh,
me and
man.
You were on the same level, baby.
We're connected.
We're both like, cute little nuggets.
We're vibing. Oh man. Also, I was in an interview the other day, and this girl was like, I like chicken nuggets, but I don't like chicken strips. And I was like, what? Anyways, so Kinta, he feels bad about getting Miku hurt, so he's gonna try and do some recon, to figure out what this secret weapon is, but he's not good at the stealthy stuff and definitely gets caught. And my favorite is how they return him. All three of the girls are in the hot spring, just relaxing and having fun. And then just like a beat up Kinta just gets thrown into the water.
Face first, unconscious.
Yep. And they're like, oh!
And then the one girl is like mad that
seeing them
in
naked.
The spring. And it's like, that's not what the problem is here.
You're missing the point.
There is much larger problems here, my friend.
Yep, absolutely. There's other things to consider. We've got other priorities here, girl. And then we get to the day of the match. Guess what we get? We get a full magical transformation again, unedited.
This time, though, their pre-match outfits before they transform are even more Christmassy because mm-hmm. they keep evolving for some reason. Like, the cloak's getting longer and more white fur on it. And
yeah, it's just like a tree skirt. My mom one year, bless her heart, she was like, I found this cape at the thrift store and I thought you might like it. It was a Christmas tree skirt. I was like, thanks, mom. Anyways, oh my gosh. Okay, so they're versing the beauties of nature.
Who have the wildest intros.
And also, their beauties of nature are almost fully out for everyone to see in this match. So they're like starting this battle. And the other team seems to be like super weak. My note was maybe their thongs are too tight. That's why they're struggling to fight in this battle.
Is what, cutting off circulation?
Yeah.
Imagine your thong is so tight it cuts off circulation to your brain.
Ooh, you're just like, like if I have underpants or whatever that's too tight, I get a tummy ache. But like, so yeah, that's like weaklings. And they're like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, this secret weapon is the boobs lift up and there's two like boxing gloves that punch out. And I was like, what in the Austin Powers is going on?
I lost it at the surprise titty spring-loaded boxing glove attack.
I was like, is the Joker their costume designer? What is going on? Like, I'm surprised it didn't say, like, bang.
Well, yeah, because before that, she's like, oh, we're kicking your ass. And she was like, actually, we've just been hamming it up for the audience. Now we're getting serious. And then titty punches her with her titty.
It was great.
Also, fight was like 90% just moaning.
100%, which was like, ugh.
Like, there's no like, ugh, or it's like, oh, ooh, She's like getting kicked
in the cooter.
She gets like titty punched in the teeth and she's like, oh, I'm like, whoa, whoa. That's not the sound you make when that happens.
Oh, man. But yeah, then they've also got these like weird electric ribbons.
Yeah, because apparently this team has everything. They've got,
I guess,
back ropes, titty punching, and then electric ropes.
Yep. 100%. That,
like, again, are almost killing this girl.
100%. I was like, they're going to murder people. And Miku, of course, can't compete because she's got her tiny bruise on her shoulder. And but she's like, oh no, my sisters are literally getting murdered in front of me. So she decides to go into the ring. And what does she do to, what is her winning move? Oh, is it when she gets cornered, she does what the chicken does and fly above her and then splat on her head?
It was like chicken tornado or chicken typhoon kick or something.
Chicken tycoon. Chad was like, sounds like a really weird KFC menu item.
And I love that before she jumps into the ring, the girl who's like literally electrocuting her teammate is like, are you crazy? Fighting with a hurt shoulder? Girl, you're killing someone right now.
Yeah, no, I was like, you're literally murdering someone. Like,
and you're worried about her fighting with a hurt shoulder?
Yeah. The priorities were so off. But yeah, in the end, they win. So,
hey,
you know.
Who says being a chicken's a bad thing? Sometimes you're a chicken because you run, but you're alive when you run. And sometimes you're a chicken because you jump in the air and you spin kick someone in the face.
Because they're murdering your teammates.
Yeah, for all the times that happens in life. That we need to worry about that.
So often. But yeah, that's the end of the five episodes we watched.
Did you have a good time?
I did have a good time. Did I have a great time? Meep. But it was a good time.
Do you think it's something you would have watched when you were younger if you saw it on TV?
Probably not. I don't know, because it is animated, so I could have been into it. I don't know.
Like, if you turned on the TV and you saw those, like, golden blue harpies with their claws out attacking other, like, metal-clad
Popeye
warriors
proportioned
in a ring, in a wrestling ring, you wouldn't be a little bit interested as a kid?
Yeah, I guess you're right. It is pretty bright and colorful. I think I would probably stay and watch it.
At least for one episode. You might not see what it spend is. The effort to watch to the keep, other.
Yeah, I wouldn't invest a lot of time.
The other 12. Yeah. No, that's fair. Oh, that's fair.
Is there only 12 episodes total?
It's a short series. Yeah. It's just like that's a little kind of one-off thing, which, like, honestly, for a series like this is perfect. We don't need them fighting 85 episodes worth of matches to get through this, like, weekend tournament.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, where do you go from that?
It would just be Monster of the Week every week, a different fight. But the thing is, because it's a tournament, they can't lose one fight. Yeah. It would get old so fast. But with 12, they're able to, like, get to the end point real quick. And because the episodes are only, like, if you ignore the intro and outro credits, like, 18, 17 minutes long.
Yeah, they're not very long at all.
It's an easy watch.
Absolutely. You can knock them out in an afternoon.
But at least we don't get a crap ton of filler.
I mean,
okay,
those
sorry.
Match-
there was a bunch of, like, training matches. They could have cut down the 12 episodes to probably 8 if it wasn't for the, in, like, the hour and a half of anime that we watched, half an hour of it being training montage.
Yep, and then the other bit of it being magical girl transformations.
In average, on an episode, you are getting, if you include intro credits, which is 3.5 minutes with the outro as well, and the transformation, and the constant training sequences, that equates to, like, half the fucking episode.
Yeah, it really does. And yeah, you don't get this development and this conflict with the other team, so you really don't feel really any sort of stakes or, like, any sort of tension when you get to these matches. Because it's just like, well, we know who's gonna win. I think that would be my critique of it, is that yeah, there's not a lot of character development that would be nice to have. Also, didn't you say there were pop idols?
Well...
Because I was like, I saw, like, literally nothing that, except for, like, that one only, part in the first episode.
That's the only reference to them being pop idols.
Okay.
Was to celebrate Miku's joining of the team, was they released music.
Oh. All right.
They're just trying to branch out.
I guess make money for trading? I don't know.
If you had to rate it out of 10, what would you give it?
Okay. Personally, I would say probably a 5. Just very middle of the road.
5 on the dot. Okay.
It's not great. It's not terrible. It's just there.
Now, if you had to guess what it was rated at.
5.41.
Off by over a point.
Really?
Yeah.
Like 3? Just kidding. No.
It's rated at 6.52.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
Now, that being said, it only has 1,400 reviews.
I don't know if that's a lot or a little.
It is not a lot.
Oh, okay.
Most modern anime are in, like, the million plus reviews.
Holy shit.
Because it's not a super well-known series. When I tried to find, like, fan art of this, because that's what I usually do to kind of judge, like, is it, like, a cult classic or is it just, like, an unknown? Mm-hmm. There's next to no fan art online.
Hmm.
There are very few actual written reviews, so it's not popular.
I mean, that makes sense. The series may not have had us in a full Nelson, but
and we've wrestled with our emotions deciding if it was worth it or not, but we've come to the agreement that it's perfectly in the center.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, thank you all for joining us this week and checking out Metal Fighter Miku. Let us know in the comments of wherever you're checking this out what you thought of the series and, of course, of the podcast. Make sure to follow us pretty much everywhere at Animates. Most active on Twitter, though. If you want to follow us also on Twitch, sometimes streaming games over there. And you can also check out our free Patreon if you don't want to, you know, always have to rely on getting notifications from Twitter. Check that out at patreon.com/animates. And we will catch you next week when Lindsay is hosting and giving me something hopefully great to watch. So
you'll never know.
we're gonna go have our own training montage.
Let's do 3,000 squatches.
Squatches? Squatches?
Oh, no.